Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got our OG crew. Randy is finally back. We do read the comments, as usual.
Except last week. You didn't read the comments last week.
No, we ignored those.
I wanted to, on the offset, I just wanted to bring something up. I want to explain why my evaluation dropped from 480 to 120. Because I saw you guys.
Right. That was terrible.
Or the iMac trade-in.
It was absolutely terrible. The reason that they, what they told me, even though I could not use this, when you do your pre-qual thing, the screening, you answer all this set of questions, this right. part didn't get brought up in the pre-screen, so I don't know why it had to affect me on the back end, but they dropped
it. Was a power cable.
I turned that in.
One little power supply dropped $300.
My LCD panel is damaged.
What?
What? Yeah. It was?
Yeah, I have a little bit of an after burn-in. It's not like a full-on after image, but there is a little bit of burn-in.
I never noticed that when using either. Your Mac.
Yeah, I noticed enough of it where I was like, oh, that's a thing. Where it's like if I had a window open for too long and then – say I had Safari open. And then I open up Final Cut. Final Cut is a darker UI. But I would see the after image of like a Safari tab for a second, and then it would fade away.
So, weird. So did they say that? Did they tell you that was the reason?
In the email they said, they told me that. They're like, listen, you have damage. I'm like, but it shouldn't drop that much. And they're like, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I feel like they'll probably replace that panel for 3 cents.
It's not a permanent damage thing. The motherboard is perfectly fine. The SSD is fine. Everything about it is fine. The screen needs to be fixed. But it's not even the glass isn't damaged. It's just the LCD panel because the glass is fine. It's not chipped. Everything about it, thank you for saying so. Like, I take care of my things.
Oh, you do. I use that Mac. Other than the crappy Intel processor, that thing.
The crappy Intel that couldn't handle Big Sur.
Justin Long wouldn't be impressed by.
No,
hey, it's Intel though.
Ooh,
so,
you know, colors. It's
good. Yeah. Ooh, look at that sticker. Ooh.
Yeah. So, but Intel. I just want to let you guys know. They chose to drop it that much because of the LC. Like they. Nickel and dimed me on purpose. They did the old bait and switch on me. Hey, $500, $200.
Yeah.
I still think that's messed up, or at least that should come up in the checkout process or something. Like,
yeah, because I would have indicated
your specs.
Yeah, I would have indicated. I would have said, listen, the LCD panel, I know, like, I have no, you're wasting my time and money by me having to lie about that stuff. I just want to be upfront so I can get a better quote for it.
For sure.
And decide something better to do with it.
yeah. But as you've pointed out, and as I'm saying, like, I don't have that type of time right now. So
yeah. It's a lot of work. Yeah. Nick, have you ever traded in with Apple before with a Mac?
Nope. I was going to do it with an iPad once, other iPad Pro third gen, but my sister ended up needing it. So I lent it to her permanently.
Gotcha. Randy's situation scared me away from trading in the Mac Mini because it also said 480. And that started to make me think maybe they just tell everyone 480. And
baby.
All Intel computers are now worth $480.
Well, they claim they are. And then when you send it in, they're like, oh, actually $50 because we found a scratch that's 2 microns long on the bottom.
Yeah, definitely.
So. But my Mac Mini is gone now.
I saw that. What schmuck did you sell your computer to?
Oh, my sister, actually, because a lot of people were probably surprised we didn't get her the M1 Mac Mini, because that's obviously the greatest computer of all time. And
I can
she basically texted me about a week ago, I think it was right after last week's podcast, and she said that her MacBook Air was not doing very well. It couldn't hold a charge. The USB port wasn't working. And she still uses an iPhone 6, so she's kind of willing to put up
dated.
With yeah, very dated. This was the 11-inch MacBook Air.
I love with that aluminum. Little computer. They were so small.
It was very small.
Before the 12-inch MacBook,
but
which is
I may add, it was extremely ugly. The The pixel density is terrible, yeah. And the bezels aren't pretty. I think that was one of the few 16x9 MacBooks,
yeah, uh-huh.
If I remember
it
correctly.
It was 16x9.
It's kind of trippy, but the hinge on it was even not working
oh, wow.
correctly. Like I was trying to just hold it up at a 90-degree angle, and it kept wanting to flop backwards. And I was like, yeah, you should have maybe replaced this a few years ago. But she said that with her current workflow, because she has a computer, she's a teacher, and she has a computer at school, and she has a computer at home, she doesn't need a laptop anymore, so she wanted to get an iMac, is what she said.
Yeah.
And her budget after tax and after shipping and everything was $700. And she wanted that to include screen.
Hey, Randy had a good iMac speakers. For sale for $120.
I was not selling it for $120. I OBO'd it because I had to.
Uh-huh. It's out of there. But yeah. She was like, I don't want to buy from some weirdo on eBay. I want to get like certified refurbished. So does Apple have any $700 iMac certified refurbished? So I started looking for her, and the cheapest one I could find was like $800, $900. And I was like, there are some, but tell you what, I have this old cinema display that I'm not using. It was in my closet.
Okay.
And I have a spare Magic keyboard and a Magic mouse, the wireless kind, and of course my Mac Mini. And I said, I'll give you all of this for $600.
Nice.
That way you're under budget, and I'll set it up for you. And if there's any issues, I can fix them. And I explained to her the monitor has the speakers built in and the webcam, and so I set it up for her, and she loves it. So she's happy with it. But yeah, that's pretty close if you factor in the cost of everything else. Pretty close to what Apple would have given me for it, but. And some people were telling me I should have just given it away for free, but it complicates things when you start giving stuff away. And so that's why we, you know, keep it fair in that regard. So,
I don't give any of my Apple products for free, even to family. Mm. They have to buy it. Like my brother, I gave him my 10R, the blue 10R, but I didn't give it to him. He bought it from me at a very cheap discount for his birthday. And I was like, for his birthday, he had to pay me.
I was going
to
say, this sounds like the best way to do other people's birthdays. I'd like to give you a birthday present after you pay me.
Yeah, right. That's how it works. Well, because the thing is that he understands. Like, like what you just said, Drew, like it complicates things when things become free. Yeah. And it's also context that sometimes, maybe not in this case with the Mac Mini, or maybe with the Mac Mini, but sometimes in the context, the product that's being exchanged for a family member is still very much has value in it. And at the time, the 10R was still $700 or $750, whatever the price was. And I sold to him. I gave it to him for $400, but then I didn't just give him that. Like I did the same thing where I gave him value in a different way. For $400, I'll give you the phone. I'll give you this. I'll give you the and all that stuff. And it's just there you go. It's obviously it's not about the money. It's about it's more principle in the sense of that, like I used to do like, here, just have it, just take it, and that bit me in the butt hard. And
sure. How did that bite you in the butt? I've never had that problem before because I give all my stuff away.
Oh, okay.
you have better people that you surround yourself by than.
I know, Randy. Because... You are a better person.
He surrounds himself with the good people. So yeah,
Max, I'm glad I inspired you, Nick.
Uh huh. Yeah, you did. You always inspired me.
Randy inspired me to not use the Apple trade-in program.
Yeah. There you go.
I credit that to you.
I learn from my mistake. I think in a future date I will try it one more time and then deny the offer and have it sent back to me when I'm not worried about, you know,
time.
Like if they send it back to me, like, will I even be here in time? You know what I mean? It's one of those right now. So, it's. I want to try it again just to see what happens. I just want to see if – not the phone, because we know historically, notoriously, that these phones won't give you the best tier. I just want to see, here's what we're pre-quoting you for, and here's the final quote. And I just want to see if it's still that drastic again with something. Mm-hmm. And I might do it with the M1 MacBook Air when it's time to trade it in for.
Oh, right, because you're going to upgrade later.
This was this. I love this. I love this MacBook. It is good. It did me so well on my trip last week. Everything about this MacBook is amazing. But it was always meant to be a placeholder, and the only gripe, which is not even a gripe because I manage the files differently now, is that it's not even a terabyte still. So that is an issue for me. So had I given myself a 2 terabyte SSD, I might have kept it for the 2 or 3 years because there's genuinely nothing wrong with it. I'm shocked that for not having a fan, it doesn't heat up my lap at all. I record constantly now, like just things in Logic, things that I'm trying to break it. I just want to know where the boundary is, and it doesn't time out. It doesn't do any of nothing. The quirks of the M1 processor is more has to do with all the peripherals, from the infamous Cam Link not working to my preamp with Focusrite had a weird little hiccup that got fixed through that company doing an update. So there's the issues with M1 is getting everybody else on board and moving away from the Intel side, which is just the deal that you have to make when you're becoming an early adopter like that. So I accept that. But just performance on the device alone, my God, this the Mac Mini is perfect. The more I use the MacBook Air with no gripes about it, the more I'm like, the Mac Mini is the best Mac right now.
Price for dollar.
Price per dollar.
Yeah, okay. If you're Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or whatever, then yeah, sure, get the Mac Pro. But this,
for some reason, I don't think that Elon Musk uses like a desk.
I don't even think he uses a computer. I think he is a computer.
Ooh. Deep. It's all very here. Deep.
It's all right.
It's just
there.
Neuralink.
That's the best price for dollar right there.
Tell me more about this MacBook Air, Randy. I think it's the first time you've had a very powerful laptop in a long time, and you went on a big trip around the country. You had a lot of airplane time, a lot of airport time, a lot of around the... we haven't really talked since your trip, layovers. So I'm sure you did some fun stuff, but... Did you appreciate having desktop level computing power in your lap?
I saw a slave capital of the world. That's what I got to see.
Capital of the world. What's that?
Montgomery, Alabama is very infamous back in the 1800s for being a trading city of slaves. So
that's scary.
As I went to explore, like, ooh, old colonial Alabama. Oh,
oh, yikes.
Oh,
well, glad this video is now demonetized. Why? Thanks, Montgomery.
Thanks, Montgomery. But anyway, no, okay, so what is it like now that I've kept it away from my house here? My God, does it... The portability is so... I love the portability of it. It's so light. It's good. Small. So it's the things that I love about like small iPhones and stuff like that. And yes, with Nick and his can never stop sharing.
No. That's this one. That's this one. This is a MacBook Air.
That's different.
You got the MacBook Air.
You inspired me.
He's like, Randy.
You inspired
got the
MacBook
me. Air.
I got a MacBook Air.
What?
Wait. I'm lost.
This is running.
Now I'm really confused.
Justin Long's favorite processor. So it's not worth that much. Wait, actually, a friend
you got
of mine.
An Intel MacBook Air?
Yeah, an Intel.
Why?
Why? Well, because.
I'm very lost.
You didn't really care about my MacBook Air. You were just using me as a segue.
No. The segue.
I'm over here about to say something, and then you're like, oh, he doesn't care at all. You're just using me. Screw you.
You have 3 MacBooks now?
No, I traded my MacBook Pro for this MacBook Air with a friend, Scott. He was like, yeah, I kind of want a touch bar and some ports on the other side. And his is 2 years newer. Mine was 2 years older. They had this exact same specs. Actually, the Geekbenches were within like 2 Geekbenches, 20 Geekbenches of each other. I don't know what.
A Geekbench unit.
Anyway.
No, forget you, Nick. I'm going back. I'm answering my question.
I'm legitimately curious, though, Randy.
You used me as a segue. Now I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity.
I didn't buy a Mac secretly.
I do want to hear this,
Randy. You're going to turn around and surprise. I've been using the Mac Pro. Yeah.
Let me wheel it in.
Yeah.
I've still never seen one to this day.
Apple Store. That's it.
They're all closed. They're all.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I haven't been to one.
Randy, MacBook Air. What are your thoughts?
MacBook Air. I connect it minimal peripherals.
Minimal.
I like your use
of that word. Good job.
Awesome. Uh-oh.
Wow.
Hang on.
Randy just left the chat. Okay.
I blame Comcast.
I don't know. I blame Randy personally because, you know, he's a terrible person.
There he is. He's back.
Minimal. Hey. He likes my use of minimal. That's the last thing you said.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Oh, I'm not going to
continue. Do you use a lot of the... Do you use any accessories while you're on your trip, or is it basically all just the MacBook?
I did use... I brought my preamp. I brought everything in the case that we were going to have a surprise March 23rd event.
Oh, right. Sadness.
That's right.
That was a couple of months ago.
Let's recap the event, guys.
No, we need to hear about Randy's MacBook Air experiences.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, on a plane, which is... And I fly coach, so tight tray, set up the MacBook, get my little music setup going. And the only thing I will say that I wish I still had with me at a time like this, but it's the exception, not the rule, is the little MIDI keyboard I gave Nick. That's perfect for transport and situations like that. So I didn't have that, so I improvised. But I was able to I wrote music while on the plane because everybody was so rowdy and stir crazy, and we had a 4-hour layover. So
do they space you apart?
Huh?
Are you spaced apart?
No.
Oh, everybody's shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, so I double masked it. Yeah.
Good.
I was so insecure about the amount of coughing I was hearing on the plane. I get cabin fever normally, or the kennel cold or whatever. Like I get all that weird, like, oh man, like I get that normally pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Now the thought of like now everyone has, you know, masks and stuff like that. But then the guy next to me, we need to talk about non-tech for a second. I just want to talk about etiquette.
Sure.
The guy next to me, because I was sitting in an aisle seat, the guy had a middle seat, he was one of the last ones on the board, there was something wrong with him, something was off about him. He had his mask, but he wouldn't wear his mask on his face, he wore it on his eyes, and it was, it was one of those, I was like, what? And they're like, sir, you can't get on the plane unless, you know, you have to cover your mouth and your nose.
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, and then he just put it on, then he boarded the plane, and then he sat next to me, I'm like, I didn't want him to sit next to me, and immediately he takes off the mask and he goes like that again, and I'm just like, oh.
That's so weird.
And so the whole time, the flight stewardess, the attendants, whatever we call them now, all, you know, they'd have to come and tell, like, sir, you need to put your mask on. Yeah, boom, boom. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep your mask on. The whole 9 yards there, and the whole time I'm getting started, like, can I move? And they're like, there's no open seating. And then, or like, there's no extra seats. It's like, I'm not comfortable. And I feel like you're like, this is putting my health at risk. And this guy's just, and honestly, it's not even so much that he's not wearing his mask. It's the fact that he's so obnoxious the way he was just kind of just, he's taking over the middle and he's doing more. And I'm just like, get off. Like, I actually.
So did you say this while he was right next to you?
I did. I actually did. But the problem is. Which I realized then, he was asleep. He's just like...
Oh, I see.
And I'm just like, can I move? Because I'm not comfortable. And they're like, sir, just, we have no available seats. I'm like, what? Are we still in, like, social distancing or not? Because this is a full airplane, and you can't have it both ways. I'm uncomfortable now. So the best that they did for me is they comped me. Well, it's not a comp because you don't pay for it, but they gave me extra treats and drinks and stuff like that when everyone else was there. They're like, oh, here you go. I'm like, I pause. I go, fine. So I just took it. I was like, whatever. All right, fine. I'll take the free stuff. Like, here, we'll give you, here's a Coke can, a whole can. Here's a Coke can. Here's more snacks. And like, we're sorry about the inconvenience. It's like, Yeah, but anyway, outside, I just want to say, the point of me even bringing that up is that if you're going to travel in a public space, ladies and gentlemen, have proper etiquette. That's all I'm saying. Just be courteous. It's not hard to be. It doesn't cost you anything to just
absolutely
be polite. Because the thing is, I think I'm of the belief of wearing a mask is not is more for the other person to make them feel comfortable, not more for
prevents you from spreading.
Yeah, and that guy doing that is like, you are so rude. But there was something wrong with him. Anyway, but so I tuned him out because I'm completely ticked off now. So I tuned him out, and I put my AirPods in. I get my MacBook open, and I was just – it was so powerful. Everything about –
did you notice a lot of latency?
No latency. Okay, no latency with this. What the craziest part I noticed, and I caught this on earlier, like a week before, like the week of me leaving, I recorded – vocals using AirPods Pro. So I haven't tried it on the regular AirPods, but using AirPods Pro, I recorded something with vocals just to see. I was curious. It's me experimenting with stuff. There was no latency, and I was like, "Whoa! Wow. I don't need the over ears anymore." Then, if that's the case, the only reason I would use over ears is because this is still a very altered frequency. These in-ear monitors aren't playing back the actual sound. There is customization that happens with the tech causing noise cancellation or transparency. So I don't hear the most high fidelity playback in my ear, but that's fine. Just for the sake of just recording something, and I could hear my voice through my ear, and there was no latency, and I can hear the track just fine, and I had both of them in my ear. That was amazing. I recommend everybody across all spectrums of the Mac or the Apple and Mac ecosystem to get an M1 chip processor for their computers if they are the type of person who's outside of the iOS or iPad OS, because everything about it, there's no latency. It felt like I was sitting at my desk here writing songs, and that felt very freeing, because now I really don't want to be in the office when I'm in transit or when I'm just stir crazy and I'm home. I like the idea of I just bring the MacBook now for everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this
have a lighter.
Yeah, I love it. But this is now it replaces my iPad in the sense that I don't bring my iPad for travel anymore.
Mm-hmm. Really? Did you bring it with you on
the
trip?
iPad.
Yeah.
Just because of the possible event. But if that wasn't happening, you wouldn't.
I brought it just in case, because it's always been my dedicated YouTube download offline media player. And the iPad has a purpose in my house for it still being the media player and doing things
that's
like
fair.
This. And yeah. I like the speaker system more on the iPad than I do on any iPhone. And I think I like it more than the MacBook Air speakers.
Oh, really?
I think so. The MacBook MacBook Air is louder. But I feel this has a little bit more clarity. So
really? Interesting.
I do like the iPad Pro in my home for passive events and stuff like that. But for travel,
kind of like when you're listening to stuff but moving around, because like the way I see it, the MacBook Air speakers are like at you, right?
Yeah.
They're like pointing towards you, as the iPad Pros kind of
surround your entire three-dimensional environment.
Yeah. But right. And also, to be fair, I do pair either or of all of them to the HomePod minis. So that point, it doesn't matter. And so in that case, I could see the case where iPad would get replaced altogether. But I love the UI. I am a iPad OS UI person above anything else when it comes to consumer side.
Me too.
It is the best.
That's all I need for the iPad to replace the Mac.
Yes, and I agree with those three things. Until then, I found out I don't need to bring my iPad on any trips. I don't need to do anything that the MacBook Air couldn't do. And the MacBook Air technically
is Face ID, it wouldn't be that much help either.
That's true.
On this trip.
That's very true. I opened the thing and my Apple Watch authenticates immediately. So I just opened the thing and it was already open. So
why can't it do that with the iPad? I don't get it.
I don't know. And I'm trying. Why haven't we got 14.5 yet so I can do that with my phone?
I know. I'm really excited to try that. I've been in several situations where I'm like, I just wish the watch could unlock. To me, it's still weird that whether or not you're in your own home, which in Nick's case could be like, hundreds of miles away from civilization, whether you're there or in the middle of the most densely populated grocery store, the iPhone and iPad and everything treats you with the same amount of security. Mm-hmm. It has to get a full, you know, 10,000 dot projection 3D map of your face, whether or not you're all by yourself or surrounded by other people.
I'm not always all by myself. I have a social life. I talk to you guys on the internet.
But don't you just think that the wall of security could just be a tad lower if it knows that you're the only one?
I've thought about that quite a few times. I don't know. I keep going back and forth about it. It would be really nice, inconvenience-wise, to just be able to say, hey, this is my home within, you know, 300 feet of this GPS location. You know, maybe don't require Face ID to open the phone, but the Face ID checks a couple times within the first few minutes, and like if it's still you, then
maybe
great.
Just at the beginning of the day, you know.
Yeah, or maybe I don't know. Some like lighter version of security, but I don't know. That could be abused pretty easily. I mean, just think of like all of those like bad guys, like what is it? Stalkers, like trying to get more information or whatever. Like, they take it to your house and your phone suddenly unlocks. Like, that's a little weird. And I don't think I would turn that feature on, but I wouldn't mind if it was there.
I wouldn't go as far as having it that broad of a scope. I think using the same technology that they want to use with AirTags about things being in the vicinity.
Ultra wideband? Yeah.
Yeah, that you would know that the devices are nearby, and that is another layer of authentication of your location, of where mm-hmm. you're at, especially if it's going to be that precise about where the device is at. You can authenticate with your biometrics, which this trip has really made me miss Touch ID. I was sitting at my friend's house, and he has a S20 Ultra. Ooh. And while we're out at restaurants,
why are you friends with this person?
He's a legacy friend. He's my oldest. He's one of my oldest okay. friends.
Well,
he's a
you
legacy
should
friend.
Cancel
he's
him and
in.
Get a new update.
No, I can't. He's grandfathered in. He's one of those.
He's grandfathered in.
Whatever that thing is that Phil Schiller and Wozniak are.
Apple fellow.
Fellow.
He's a Randy fellow.
Yeah. He's one of those. So he unfortunately has a pass for life. But that means I have to judge him in his poor taste of things. But when he's out and I just saw him like, I don't know, I'm using my water bottle. But he just like masked up. He just goes, boop, touches the phone real quick, and he's in. He sends the text. He's down, and I'm over here like,
yeah,
because I'm like, and he looked at me. He's just like, and you want me to get on Apple? Because he's not a blindly sold on Android. He's like, there are things about iOS that he loves, like FaceTime, you know, he acknowledges its benefits, and he's like, mm-hmm. he lives vicariously through me and I through him with the products and stuff. And he looked at me. He's like, and you want me to get on Apple? I was like, you just wait until 14.5 with the watch. You just wait.
I like the watch approach because I feel like if you're worried about a stalker coming or breaking into the house and accessing your phone, if your watch is off, it goes back to default locking per face. But if your watch is on, then it unlocks right away without having to 3D map the face. And you get the little notification just like it does on the Mac. It makes the little sound effect. And on 14.5, they even show it. Like on the watch, it has a lock iPhone button right after that happens. So in the event that, I don't know, the phone's on the other side of your house and someone grabs it and unlocks it, you can just be like, lock, just in case. I feel like that would cover the 99% of circumstances. And if someone is breaking into the house, I think I have bigger concerns than them reading my texts, but or doing bank stuff. I don't know. I just feel like there's a smarter way to go about security than they've been doing. But
so
I'm no expert.
I actually had to write this down with security, especially with authentication. The five pillars of authentication and two-factor and everything like that, the five pillars are who you are, where you are, what you know, what you have, and when you are. So those are the five pillars of authentication. And okay. in the sense of two-factor, you can't double up who you are twice. That's not two-factor. That's just redundancy. Yeah. And redundancy, mm-hmm. when it comes to authentication, is problematic. So what you have to incorporate two of those five pillars at any point for two-factor authentication. The most common mm-hmm. one that people would use, say on like military installations or when you go to the bank, or you present them something. You have to present them a card. So at the bank, you give them your debit card. On base, you give them your access card. There are some type of proxy card. That is what you have as one of the pillars. And then the other portion of that is what you know. Those were always the most common for the longest time. But those are easily compromisable. But mm-hmm. who you are is very hard to compromise, whether it's blood type, retina, fingerprint.
Security question, mother's maiden name.
Security question is what you know. Yeah. So, and then, but what you know is a little, it gets tricky as long as you don't do the simple password 1!!
Hey,
you know,
mm-hmm. don't tell my password to the internet, Randy.
Capital P.
He just outed Nick's password.
Yeah, capital P, password, !! Right? So that, as long as you don't, it's not that simple. In the words of Deadpool, well, that's just lazy writing. So
password writing.
but now addressing with those pillars, the idea of how we can do a better version of our iPhones in a pandemic or with masks or however they want to move forward, the alternative with the watch, I think, is actually genius. Because at first it's like, what does the watch prove? The watch actually proves where you are, not just what you have, but the watch only stays unlocked when the sensor is known that it's on your wrist. Now, obviously, you could put it on your thigh, your palm, but it can't break contact with your skin that way. So once you put your pin in and you unlock it, as long as it doesn't break contact with the skin and it breaks the sensor, then it knows where you are because it's still on the person that unlocked it. So that does away with the where you are portion of it. Same way that when you try to log on to like an Apple website and they want you to use a different iPhone or an iPad to put in the 6-digit code, that plays a factor because it's saying, hey, this is the location of it, but then it also plays a factor of what you have. So I want to see more of this with the Apple Watch of being utilized as a tool, because
it's the key.
If you can use it to authenticate purchases, you're like,
yeah,
like that, then it should have the same authorization to allow verification on you if you know the password. And I think the failsafe for that is that even if someone else knew the password of it, you have the ability within your phone to turn off the watch, to shut it off where it can't be used still. So if your watch did become compromised, if you lost it and you're like, oh, someone might have it, it's very, very easy to unpair it. And once you unpair it, it is obsolete. So there is a checks and balances where the watch isn't the catch-all for a security threat. And I like that. I would like to see that as a good alternative if we do not use touch. Because you can't use touch ID and then also face ID and that be considered two-factor, because they're both what you are. And it doesn't actually do a proper authentication.
That's more of a, like you said, it's more redundancy on if one of them fails.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But if we're not going to get touch ID, whether it's in the power button or what have you, of where it's at, using your watch, I'm in favor of more security actually using the power, using the Apple Watch over touch ID. Because the watch means you need to have what you have. You can always increase levels above two-factor. You could be in a situation where it requires all five factors. Wow. And high-profile facilities and installations, like at the Pentagon, do require all five factors. And if one fails, then no bueno. You know, you can't get in. So the idea of using the watch now implements what you have, what you know with a pin, where you are, and Actually, no, yeah, that's it. Those are the three. Because it's not using the who you are anymore at camp because no biometric has been utilized. So I like that idea. You now implement a three-factor effectively with one being kind of more in the background that you don't have to worry about. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. And I think like the watch, the seamless, the best security system is one you don't even notice.
Yeah.
One that you can seamlessly use everything and you don't even think about entering a passcode, which is why I love that you can unlock the watch via Face ID with your phone. You put the watch on, and then once you unlock your phone, it unlocks the watch. And then I come in here, and my watch unlocks my Mac. And the iPad's not in that chain yet, which is kind of sad. But the idea of 14.5 coming along, it's finally showing Apple at least budging a little bit. Not completely, because I'm kind of thinking the phone could unlock even when I'm not wearing a mask. Right now, it's just like defaults to the watch when it detects a mask. But if it could get to a point where, even if you didn't want to do it when I'm out and about, but just at home, it's like it instantly unlocks. And if I want it to lock again, I can. And I'm not trying to enforce it, because I always see comments whenever I pitch things like that. If like, well, what if you have a big family and your brother's trying to access? I'm like, then just leave it at default. I'm not saying require everybody to
I
have
love
this.
The what if game where, well, what if Jesus Christ comes to your house and he says, my son, give me, like, okay, guys, there's a what if for everything, you know? Like, it's
just
so
make
it's okay.
It an option. We're not saying make it a standard. At least I'm not suggesting making a standard. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people that kind of live by themselves, too, or live with people they trust and aren't trying to lock them out of their phone. So those people, if they had an option to be like, yeah, just instantly unlock the phone. And if every time I picked it up, whether or not I was holding it sideways or whether or not I had something on my face or whether or not I wasn't holding it the exact right way,
or being able to sitting in bed sideways swipe. And Face ID is just like, who is this? You're
you
sideways.
Yawn.
What's going on?
Oh, that gets me all the time. Like, I yawn is like, I don't know what you are. Your skin stretched right here. I don't know who you are.
I think I set up a alternate appearance of my face with the mouth open just so I could still unlock it when mid yawn.
I accidentally yawned for real by faking that.
Now you're all yawning.
Yeah,
it's
everyone
contagious.
On
weird. Yeah, the body's weird.
Dang it. Oh well.
All three fans have yawned now. Congratulations.
If you can have iPad OS utilize these same factors, that would be cool. I like only because sometimes I like when I open the iPad like that and it times it right where it still reads my face and it's good. But there are times where I go the same way and it's like, and I'm like, oh. And it's just annoying, you know, because I don't always have it open like this where I can just tap the screen. Now that I'm home, it most likely will be like that. But I do like to close it and just out of protection. I'm very protective of like, oh, no scratches, no dings, no this, no that. So
hurt your trade-in value.
That for I want to get another $100. Oh, I can't wait until they offer me $50 for the iPad Pro.
A bargain.
Sons we'll give you $400.
Yeah, they don't even let you haggle. They don't even let you, like, you can't even get into the point where it's like, I'm trying to parlay with you. Like, no, there's none of that. You can't even conduct. There's no what's the word? You can't not bargain. It is
barter.
That's it. Yes. Yeah, I can't even barter with them.
I think that's something else.
No.
That's when you are. It's. There's not a fine.
Maybe more specifically referring to haggling over
no,
the
not
price.
Haggling.
Okay.
No, no. When like what, for example, like gold, you keep gold and silver around instead of a dollar because it is not definitive in its value at that moment. And I think barter, it's bartering. Yeah.
Barter normally implies you're trading two items of non-cash value.
That's what I was thinking.
So haggling would
chicken
probably be
for
better.
Pig.
Yeah, chicken for pig, iPhone for gold coin, you know.
iPad for
Air for MacBook Pro.
Yeah, exactly.
iPad for a piece of paper that says I can use it at an Apple store. And that's another thing, too. They don't give you money. They give you a gift card.
Oh, yeah. See, that would have annoyed me, too. I'd rather have cash.
I would, of course, cash is king.
I would eventually use an Apple gift card, but I can spend cash on a stock or something, you know, and that goes up. But speaking of Apple Watches, I'm curious if you guys saw the Bloomberg report about a rugged Apple Watch Explorer edition.
Yeah. Ooh.
Did you read that?
Let's Do you just see that say happening? That's not me, and I won't be doing that. Sorry, guys. How much do you think it's going to be?
You'd think, shouldn't that one be cheaper?
I was thinking it would be between the base model aluminum and the steels, so probably in that $500-$600 range, somewhere in there. But it is.
Would it make sense for that one to have sapphire?
It probably would have sapphire and like some more rugged type of metal that's not steel. Like maybe, I don't know. What's another metal here?
Titanium.
So we've tried gold, we've tried ceramic, we've tried titanium, we've tried aluminum, we've tried stainless steel, we've tried
30X cold rolled.
Oh, okay.
Platinum?
Platinum is from Soft.
Well, the ones they were referring to had like
steel would scratch.
The ones in the pictures had like a plastic rubbery exterior.
Okay.
But I don't know. To me, that seems pointless because you could just get a case for an aluminum one. That's all rubberized and plastic and making the whole thing that, I don't know, doesn't seem like something Apple would do, but I wanted to run it by you just to see if you were curious.
Is it their attempt of going after like Fitbit?
I was seeing Garmin.
Yeah. Okay. Garmin is a little bit bigger in the activity space.
Or Casio's G-Shock watches.
Yep. Yep. Yeah,
I'm glad they're shock resistance. I hate when my watch gets shocked.
Family members who have that.
Ha ha. Good one.
It looks like an OtterBox Apple Watch.
The G-Shock is tried and true. I know people who use it unironically for a very utility purpose to this day.
Yep,
really?
It is an infantryman's best side piece that they like to take with them because it's lasts forever and you could shoot at it and it just it's indestructible.
Like a Wonder Woman cufflink. Yeah. You can block it. I don't know. At one hand I was like, they should just do a case. Why dedicate a whole new watch? But then I realized they're completely out of ideas.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, that's fair.
They literally admitted that in the Apple ad this year, which we're definitely not going to parody later this year for the next season.
The tech podcast is like, we've already talked about that.
What else can we talk about?
We're just out of ideas. That's the whole episode. But no, I mean, like, if Apple is going to be this watch it, what was I saying? Watch it? Watch dominant player now that they're like the number one watch in the world, let alone smartwatch. And now there's such a huge user base and there's such a huge community. Maybe it kind of makes sense to diversify. You know, revive the sport brand that they had in the very beginning of the Apple Watch and kind of go in both directions. Work on your middle ground with aluminum and steel, but also, who knows, maybe bring back the solid gold one for those who care and bring back bring out a rugged, rubberized one that's super durable just because feature-wise, ceramic.
Ceramic
I like.
Is pretty nice. Yeah.
I would love to get my hands on an all-white ceramic.
I want ceramic AirPods.
Ooh, those things
would
be so heavy.
They're not plastic.
Oh.
That's true, they would be.
If you told me you were wearing ceramic right now, I'd believe you because I couldn't tell.
Yeah, they would look pretty much the same, but they would just, I think they would feel a lot higher quality.
They'd feel like more money.
Ceramic will come out when the inevitable AirPods 3 or whatever comes out. Not until people make OnlyFans or something, though. Sorry, Sam.
Ooh.
His OnlyFans is expensive.
Man, I love my eyebrows.
I bet you
guys.
That boy has my his eyebrows. Clothes on, too.
He better.
I'll never know. I'll never find out.
If somebody super chats this non-live video, I will get a subscription. They have to send it to them, and we will find out together.
I do not want to find out.
What is Sam hiding under there?
Can they applaud this podcast?
Is that a thing?
Yeah. If somebody applauds or whatever... Tell you what,
I don't know how it works.
My gosh! No, however, that is.
We will do it for science.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Promising to do things that we're never going to do.
I didn't promise.
No better than John.
I'll stand by my promise.
Sam.
I made a promise.
Okay.
If Quadruple UDC is not on June 7th, I will drink water on camera.
Oh.
So I guess. I'll do it right now. In advance.
I will toast to that. I will. No, this is just a toast to this promise that we're all making.
Finish my water. Mm-hmm. If we don't get AirPods 3 by the time you finish, finish watching this episode, then I'm going to carry on with my life.
We'll do absolutely nothing different.
I will do absolutely nothing different.
Oh, I also wanted to pick your guys' brain on the HomePod Hub report. Did you see those?
Yeah.
By seeing the report, you mean did I watch your video? Yes.
You watched the video. Yeah, I mean, on one hand, that was my first impression, was just like buy an iPad. But then I realized, like, if they hit the price right, this could be cheaper than an iPad. I know the use case would be much worse than an iPad, but, like, if it's cheaper, then it's like, okay, if someone's in the budget and they're going to use something, kind of like how Randy talked about with his iPad, connecting it to HomePods, playing music on it, and doing kind of watching videos and listening to podcasts and that kind of thing. If instead of spending $1,000 on a device setup like that, plus all the HomePod minis, if there was like a $200-$250 device that was both a HomePod mini style speaker and it had a bit of a display that you could play videos on or control HomeKit from, and it would have better sound quality than an iPad, that could be kind of a... It's not the same argument as the foldable, right? Because, like, the foldable argument is you get a compromised phone and a compromised tablet for something that costs more than both. Mm. If they get the price on a hub right, which it's Apple, so they probably won't, but if they got the price right, you would be saying, okay, this has some of the benefits of a HomePod mini, some of the benefits of an iPad for less than what those would cost separately.
$150.
That's probably what it'll be.
You can bundle it with AirPods Max for $1,100. Great deal.
No savings.
I like the idea of there being a hub, like we talked about it, I think, when the episode when they canceled HomePod. The minis are cool pieces throughout the house, but to have the centralized hub that kind of controls all of it, where there's an interface where it doesn't need an iPhone per se, makes me...
And it could do FaceTime.
Oh, no. Drew froze. I think Drew's Starlinking right now.
He's Starlinking right now. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep talking anyway. So, the idea, Nick, is I can leave my phone somewhere else. I don't have to have hey, buddy, welcome back.
Thanks. Starlink was lost internet. For a second.
How's Starlink treating you?
I love it.
Awesome. So what I was saying is that, like, I like the idea of there being a hub that I can go to that is his own device that I can interact with, because it makes me that much less attached to my phone. When I'm home, I do not have my phone on me like that anymore, and I like that feeling. I just move about as willy-nilly. And I think what you said, Drew, though, is like spot on. The sound quality of a mini, even if it just has a display, still makes it better than the iPad, just getting an iPad and trying
the cheapest one even.
Yeah. Mm. And you trying to jerry rig it yourself would give you a worse output at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I feel the only way I can't even say it done right, but the only way that I would want to do it is it actually needs to be built differently. The display portion of it. I want something that is meant to stay on, like the screen can stay on, whereas like the iPad we can keep it on and it's it's going, but now I have this perpetual fear of I'm gonna have LCD burn in, you know. So yeah. I want something that can offset that, and something that's meant to stay on, whether the technology is that of like how they got pretty cool with the HomePod and like the animation up there, even though it's just these little lights, like something that's like, okay, that doesn't matter if it's on or off. There's no harm, no foul that's happening there. I just feel like the display itself needs to be built differently. So
what you're saying is you want this to have mini LED. Okay.
Right. Well, we need that cheap HomePod Hub XDR.
Well, you know, all I'm saying, Nick, Dickinson. Is yes.
With a $1,000 stand.
If I can't watch Dickinson on it, then
Dickerson. Come on.
Dickerson, Nick.
Dickerson.
I don't know if it would be great at watching content on, but there seems to be a lot really of companies. It would be really great
for that one time where I'm chopping onions and I want to FaceTime my grandma in the kitchen. And thankfully, yes, the device is already at this perfect angle. And can I can just say, call grandma. And it FaceTimes grandma just perfectly at the perfect angle. And I'm just sitting there chopping.
And she has one too.
She has one in her kitchen. And she's chopping vegetables too. And it's
what
just
do
like
you
this.
Chopping onions have to do with the, hey, grandma.
Nick is right, though. There have been like 50 million ads with that exact use case of
totally.
What if you're in the kitchen and want to FaceTime someone? And
God,
Apple's
what? Just in the got kitchen iPad. Where you belong. God, okay. Wait, which who on Twitter was it? Burger King. Burger King.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Women belong in the kitchen. Good job, Burger King.
Oh, it was so bad. Oh, my God. Everyone seeing that tweet was just like, what?
I went to go buy a Whopper that day.
Oh, my God.
Randy's just trying to get canceled at this point. He's actively
I have never. I'll be honest with you. I don't care for Burger King. I don't remember
Me
that's
neither.
My Ben. And every time
I don't
I've
care
been,
for their marketing strategy either. It's terrible.
You know that market. I mean, if you're trying to be edgy like Wendy's, you really went the wrong way, Burger King.
I don't like the edgy social media things. I don't know about you guys, but the,
like,
the D-brand.
Oh, D-brand? Oh, I hate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, D-brand
it's so
is terrible.
Awkward to me. It feels like a teenager is like, and then all of the responses too. That's what annoys yeah. me is it gets a
hey,
lot of
D-brand,
likes
Hey, D-brand, where's my skin? Up your like, butt. Oh, the brand said a curse word. Oh, my God. I'm so amazed.
Like, it feels, I don't know. It's not my thing.
And,
I'm glad
see,
Apple's
the thing
not
is,
like that.
That's why I scoff at it for a different reason, though. Because they're all just riding the success of what Wendy's did. And Wendy's did it in a way that wasn't attacking the person. They were attacking another company publicly for PR. When they're like, ooh, we have the 4 for $4, Wendy said. And Burger King says, oh, but come to us. We have 5 for $4. And what's better than 5 for $4? And Wendy's responded by saying, quality food. And
you're right. I think I agree with you. When it's brand against brand, it's funnier. When it's
it
brand
is.
Against random
when,
person.
When it's like Intel, awesome. And yeah. you're like, Justin,
if
stop.
Apple replied to Intel's tweet with like,
yeah,
man,
it's then
it's
great
really
because
hot
you're,
over
you're
here.
Not attacking a person. You're not attacking a customer. You're not attacking somebody who might not have the skin to handle, you know, something like that. You're going blow for blow on a brand, on an identity, the same way they would like swing at you. If you want to do the double dongle.
Quality food.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah, they said like or they say they're like edible food. They said something like that. They said something yeah. to that effect. And everyone's just like, oh, and this was 2014 or 2015. Like, it was very early on. And then after that happened, everybody wanted to get on that bandwagon. But then they kind of went to, like, I don't like D-Brand. I don't like them as a business. I don't like them as a business model. I say this with full
We're
gonna confidence.
We're going to get roasted on Twitter now.
Good.
I don't care. D-Brand
okay.
can – here. You can suck my brand because I'm not going to – like, I don't – they are jerks to the people. And I don't appreciate that personally as like somebody like – if I wouldn't want that – sponsoring this. That's why I'm comfortable saying this out loud because I don't want that sponsoring this and then attacking our fan base when they want to get edgy. Now, some people be like, no, it's fun. Cool. Well, you go have fun with it. I don't want any affiliation with that. I don't mind putting my foot down on certain things. It's not about money or anything. It's like, it's just, you're it's like you said, it's like children. It's cheap edginess for shock value. Why don't you just make vulgar jokes and gay slurs and stuff like that while you're at it and get the same shock value and hope you don't get canceled. It's like, to me, it's one of the same. Like, you're just doing it for shock value to go, he just said that. And it's immature. It's kind of childish. And if you're doing
it
on
– requires very little effort. You know, you can have one guy just run a brand's
Well, that's just
media.
Lazy writing.
Yeah. Ooh. You can just have real lazy guy who just likes to roast people because you know it'll get attention. But
because mom, to me, it's I like didn't love them enough growing up.
As a lifelong Apple sheep, I would say I would support the @Apple Twitter account responding to Intel's ads in its first tweet ever. Just say something real spicy, or it was really hot over here, something.
Oh, you built it up like, too much, Nick. You're like, say what? Something.
Fine.
Sit on it, Nick.
I'm not a world-class marketer, Randy. Why don't you figure it out and get back with me?
I would just show a photo of the M1 chip and be just, that's it. Like, here you go. I would respond to the first tweet, would respond right back to him, and M1 chip, I would just show that.
The Geek
you already know. You know, I would show the stock. I'd show the stock prices too while I'm at it. I would show what happened to Intel the moment they announced it. I'd go back to that day when they announced it and show Intel, like, M1 chip announced, Intel stock. And that's it. I wouldn't even make a caption. I would just, like, boom.
Yeah. I would even appreciate more creative anti-advertising. Like, there's a creative way to do it, and there's a sloppy way to do it. Like,
yeah, there's Intel the Mint Mobile way.
Yeah, Mint Mobile's funny. Intel was posting a tweet, and they were promoting it. It showed up in the promoted mm-hmm. section on Twitter, and it was just the loading, the rainbow loading wheel. And it was like, uh-oh, what's this? And I was like, what argument are you even... all the replies
computers
were just the Windows version.
Slow.
You know, the Windows version with the blue yeah. ring. And they're like, oh, what's this?
I've
like,
never
this
seen
isn't
that.
Even clever.
I've never even seen that on an M1. So what are you trying to say?
It's like if your argument is that the Mac is slow, that's like objectively
that's your fault,
wrong.
Intel. That's, like you're roasting yourself.
Yeah. Your fault? If you're seeing that loading thing, it's because you're on a Mac with Intel.
Yeah, they're like, oh, what's this? Oh, it must be an Intel product because I don't see that on a M1. No. The only thing I see on an M1 is a longer like it bouncing. It just bounces a little longer, yep. And then
I don't see it on the iPad either, and that's already a circle. That would be perfect.
There you go.
If when you were loading on the iPad, it just turned into a rainbow ball or whatever.
I would
beach
be all
ball.
Over this animation, but I don't think it would ever happen because I've never once had my iPad be like needing a
Me
loading
neither.
Bar.
That's like, true. That's a good point.
A system loading bar. Like an app might, you know, need to refresh something or whatever, but
I kind of hope. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was about to pivot.
I was too. I was pivoting.
Oh,
okay. Well, then mine's a quick pivot. Do you think
Go ahead.
I've noticed that the iPad actually gets warmer than the MacBook Air after long use, and I kind of did a side by side just to see, and that's an A chip and that's an M chip. Do you think they would ever entertain the idea of bringing the M, or maybe iPad would get its own chip in the sense that it optimizes it even more. And it can go back to those three things that would make me use the iPad as the like I often wonder like the phone is perfect for what its use case is and what it needs. Anything else is just overkill and it's diminishing returns at that point. The MacBook Air M1 chip is perfect for everything that it has going with it. The iPad is amazing. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but it is like 9.8. out of 10. It is right there. And I think going forward, future iPad products, if it had its own chip, some type of... If you're going to give me a hybrid OS, give me a hybrid processor that kind of merges the A and the M. Mm-hmm. And if we had its own standalone chip for iPad, and then that alone gives you the capabilities to give you the performance of what you would want to use it for professional creation or stream or whatever else that you would want it to do. Do you think Apple would entertain that idea enough to see that happen? Or do you think the iPad has its place in the market as this consumer-only media device?
I don't know, Randy. I think...
I don't like how you said that.
Well, you never like how I say anything, Randy, so...
this I don't know, Randy.
Touché.
I think you're using that wrong.
I think the M1 is good. I also think that... Sorry. The A14X, which is what they're rumoring that the next iPad chip is going to be branded
as. That
was
referenced in beta code.
Yeah, that's right. A14X, another model identifier that will be the A14X. That chip is basically just an M1 chip with some like slightly different management control tweaking. It's the same cores, it's the same GPU, it's the same like on system RAM, like it's that. But I don't think they'd ever brand an iPad with an M1 or an M2 chip in it, just because they do want to have that separation. Because if they blur those lines too much, then you're going to have everyone asking, why isn't Final Cut on the iPad? Why isn't Xcode on the iPad?
And I'm asking really, that now.
Well, yeah, really, it has seriously been a question since Apple introduced the developer Mac Mini back in WW 2020.
Right.
That had an A12X chip, and that ran Xcode just fine. It ran all of these...
Final Cut.
It ran all of these professional apps just fine. And
say it again, Nick. Which one? A what?
A12Z.
A12.
It had an
A12.
Huh? It was A12Z.
It had an A12Z.
Yeah, so what I'm... You know, 12 is weaker than 14.
Oh, I see what you're saying there. Yeah, it's only going to get better, totally. And it has been a conversation kind of on the techie side where we know that this one specific non-public version of the Mac Mini had the same chip as an iPad, and it did just fine. But I think if they were to merge those two and say the iPad has an M1 or the MacBook Air has an A14X, if they like merged those two brands, that wouldn't go over well, because then the general Joe Schmo would be looking at the Apple store whenever those reopen, and he'd be like, so what processor does this MacBook Air have? The guy's like, oh, an M1. And what processor does this iPad have? Oh, an M1.
Hey, an Intel.
Like, why doesn't this one have Final Cut? Yeah. Or why does this one not have a touchscreen? It'd be a little more confusing. So I think they'd want to keep those brands separate. Even though they're fundamentally the same chip. Yeah. I mean, they're not actually identical. Like
I know, but
they're like 99.8% the same.
Extremely similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nick brings up a really good point, because Apple's
Well, let the record show. Drew thinks Nick brought up a good point. Take that, Randy.
I'd hate to say it. I think you changed my mind. Because you're right. I forgot about the developer Mac Mini. I completely forgot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. That had an iPad chip in it, and it was running Mac OS and Mac OS Pro applications too. And
just
I think
fine.
Apple's at a real tough crossroads, because they probably know at this point, and there's probably internally versions of these Pro applications, or I bet it's all theoretically possible for Apple to just power up an iPad with Mac OS instead of iPad OS. It's got the hardware for it, keyboard, trackpad, speakers, and finding out a few weeks ago about the next iPad potentially having a Thunderbolt port kind of gave me that hope of like maybe they
it's
do want to bring
a Thunderbolt
the M1
controller in it.
Yeah, it has a Thunderbolt controller, so that means that maybe it's an
Intel
M1.
Intel gets royalties. That's what that means.
Oh, that's right. Well, I think the newer version they don't. One or the other. It was USB 4 or something. I don't remember. But the issue Apple is running into is not, can the iPad do this? It's now, should the iPad do this? It's turning into...
Okay, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Jurassic Park debacle.
We spent so much time wondering, can we do this? We never stopped to see if we should do this.
They have reached a point now.
Fascinating.
You are fascinating.
Let me tell you
the problem.
Stop and drink you in.
When I did the iPad needs these three things for me to ditch my Mac, there were a lot of people joking in the comments of like, okay, now they know exactly what not to do. Because it's really not in Apple's best interest to make something that obsoletes the Mac and makes the Mac pointless. So if they start giving a bunch of functionality and a bunch of software to the iPad that the Mac has now, what is the purpose of the Mac after that? Like, if the iPad could do all these things, even the weird things that people complain about, whether it be that I need to do this one terminal command and I need to do this one Xcode application.
I don't think that'll ever come to iPad.
I do have a genuine answer.
Go ahead.
Apple has never shied away from cannibalizing its own sales in the past.
Yeah.
When it comes to hardware. They still stereo iPod, knowing darn well it has no place in today's society. I know, Nick. I know. But they Apple, I don't think it's marketing, because if you look at the timeline of their history, I think they've put their money where their mouth is, so I don't believe it's marketing. Apple is want to move the pendulum forward. They just want to keep progressing. And if that comes at the cost of something taking the back seat for the longest time to advance the technology that we have for iPhones and iPads, we felt for the longest time Macs were neglected until they had to come out and say the Mac plays a very important role in our lineup. But we felt like it was getting neglected because they were putting all this time into perfecting, but more or less getting it right with iPhone and iPad, Apple Watch, and everything else that was new to the Apple brand, to the company. Not Mac is its oldest now that's still around. So they wanted to put more time into the new for it, coming at the cost of people saying, like, you don't care about the prosumer market anymore, and then doing that whole thing. So they had to say something in regards to that. But in that same notion, I feel that they still have an incentive of – whether it's egotistical of them to think that, like, we could just change the future constantly. I think they, if they can make an iPad be that post-PC and whatever they do, and they put all that time into making that happen, if it comes at the cost of even an M1 Mac suffering for it, we still win. And they still get our dollar. And it shows more – of that chart where technology just gets cheaper anyway. Their business model will move to services eventually, of almost fully. That they're not, they can make these things dirt cheap for hardware and services, and everything that's in its terms of service is where they will thrive and make their money. So them hurting for cash, I don't see being a problem of like, oh, well, now we're going to lose business for that. If anything, people, as the newer generations come into adulthood, less people care more about desktops and click mouse and GUI interface over the touch interface. That because they are exposed to smartphones and tablets, why not make those things, in this case the iPad, why not make the iPad the best thing that you can make for this newer generation that's going to be the big working force going forward? If that means that the GUI interface becomes the niche, so be it. It does have a place, and it serves its purpose for us. It's not Mac Pro niche, but it still has its purpose. But I would very much love to see the iPad OS become, you know, be it its final form that it knows it can be with its full potential, because we all are aspiring to always downsize, push the boundaries within our own lives as well with technology. And then people out on our community share the same sentiment of saying that they like exploring, challenging themselves and pushing boundaries to see how much they can do with less. And if it's our way of exercising that creative process of being able to just do everything on an iPad, I, for one, welcome the challenge of it. And it's not like it's a one-all be-all where, well, this didn't work out, I guess I can never go back to a Mac. You can always go back to a Mac. So it's not like it wouldn't work. So I feel that they're not scared to push the boundary that way, cannibalize yourselves where it need be for the sake of just moving the industry, whatever market they're trying to do, forward.
I think that is part of it, though. I think that typically when Apple wants to cannibalize one of their pre-existing lines with something new, it's typically something that they can most of the time charge more for. You know, the biggest example to me was the iPhone versus the iPod. iPhone was a lot more than the iPod. But it could do so much more. And we have this big MacBook line now that starts at around 1,000 and goes all the way up past 4,000, 5,000 with some of the high-end 16-inch MacBook Pros. And if you started releasing iPads that could do all the same things as those for a fraction of the price, overall the revenue is going to go down. And it's a company at the end of the day. And I'm all for pushing the industry forward. But I guess the way I see it is Apple would have to, if they make the iPads more capable, they're probably going to make them more expensive to make it so they can recoup their losses
the Airs,
there.
Though, right? Like the Airs are the same price point. The Mac Mini's cheaper. I would say an iPad is more expensive. An iPad Pro is more expensive than your entry of a Mac. And it's pushing the boundaries of the iPad Air, but now it's also a tablet and you have the touch interface. I feel like I think you're right. I think they are making it more expensive slowly, whether it's with its accessories or the fact that the other ones are just getting cheaper now.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm buying your vision of the future here, Randy, where iPads replace just about everything. You know, they always say, we're never going to get rid of trucks completely. You know, even if everyone switched to Model 3s and Priuses tomorrow, there's still going to be trucks. We still got to move big things. And I think Steve Jobs used that example back with the iPad, right? Like, we're always going to have Macs around. There's always going to be that very niche need, but it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. It's never going to completely go away, though. I just kind of had a quick vision of a future Apple lineup. What if, like, all of the people who would normally buy a MacBook Air, a MacBook Pro 13-inch or 16-inch would get that version of an iPad? With a magic keyboard at about the same price point. 16-inch iPad. Yeah, totally. With like 4 USB ports, you know. It's just, you know, an actual computer, right? If they put the R&D into the iPad that they would normally put into one of these MacBooks, you get all of the prosumers, all of the normal everyday people to get an iPad. And then for the very few people that need that actual power, need terminal commands, need you know, these extremely niche little workarounds or whatever, which I don't know, I might be in that club. We'll have to see what the workflows look like. But leave them a really, really good and regularly updated Mac Mini and a really, really good Apple display and a really, really good MacBook Pro 16-inch type, like, portable. And with those two actual devices and one big accessory, you can fulfill Mac Pro, iMac, iMac Pro, Mac Mini needs for the desktop, as well as the super high-end professional photographer, videographer who wants to be on location with a big screen.
Or filming a feature film or something.
Yes, yes. Like Dickerson. Like Dickerson would be a great example of that. Yeah.
Or Cherry.
But, oh my gosh. Basically just moving all of the prosumer and consumer lines to iPad. I'm kind of for this, the more you talk about it, Randy.
Thank you. Yeah.
So well, could you see in that circumstance, I could see the 13-inch MacBooks becoming obsolete first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty quick once the iPads gain some more software. Because I honestly feel like there's not too many directions iPadOS can go other than take more things from the Mac. And I know some people joke about that. In my video on the three changes, they were like, so you want it to be a Mac? It's like, well, no, I want it to do things that the Mac can, which is kind of what Apple did with the keyboard and trackpad support. And they brought it external drive support, and they gave it USB-C. It's like, if you would have done the same wish list before the 2018 iPad Pro, everyone would have said, oh, so you want it to be a Mac. It's like, it's still an iPad. It's still running iPadOS. It still has a touch interface. And I want to be able to disconnect the iPad from the keyboard and all that. And the Mac isn't that. The Mac is not about a touch interface. The Mac is not about a detachable screen. And I think there's strength to that design, but not. It's going to become less and less applicable or less and less versatile as the iPad gets stronger and stronger, gains more use cases, which
and
at this point feels inevitable.
That's honestly not my dream circumstance. My dream computer is not a Mac. I mean, the Mac Mini is amazing. Don't get me wrong. Price per dollar, the
you
best.
You want something with Intel.
Price per dollar.
Yeah, I know. My dream computer setup would be like a 16-inch iPad Pro that you can plug into like an Apple display and get like infinite screen real estate, I/O all through like one Thunderbolt charging. And 16-inch iPad Pro, right? So it has all of the Intel GPU cores, all of the M4 chip, you know, whatever specs they have at the time. That's my dream computer, right? So I can take it with me, have one computer for the desk, one computer for my lap on the go, and one tablet that I can take and make over thumbnails on, because that's all I use my iPad for these days.
Baloney. No, you're very good with your camera editing as well on it.
True. true.
I'll take it
a step further. You have one iPhone that powers the iPad that also wirelessly powers the display.
I would not be.
Samsung?
High-speed data that there's no cables. Everything just works seamlessly.
I have a better future. All of the screens are actually just figments of your imagination via the Neuralink port in the back of your head. And you can just have 34
I'll go
displays.
One further. How about no?
Wonderful.
I'd say that Nick, actually, when I saw... Nick brought his iPad and his camera, and that was it, in a bag. And he's like, I'm going to go take some photos. I'm going to go do this thing. And he was just living his best life, plugging up his little adapter, put the SD card in there, did his thing, and started editing, working so much off of it. And I'm like, I want to do that, but for music. I want to do this, but for recording podcasts.
Like, I just envision Randy on the plane. Remember when Gabe had his little keyboard on the office with the microphone?
Yes.
I just picture Randy on the plane with the little fold-out tray and that keyboard and a mic, and he's just playing little, you know, themes.
Dunder Mifflin, people, persons, paper,
right next
people.
To the guy asleep next to him, and he's just...
with the mask
over his eyes. Yeah.
That's Randy on the last
plane. Coming out of his mouth every time he snores.
This one is called Moonrise Over the Ocean.
I like to call this little piece Striped Sweater. The best time to wear a striped sweater.
It's like a moment of a song stretched out to an expanse.
To the size of the universe. And all the lights are off in the plane except for Randy. He's got the little spotlight.
I don't want to do this.
That's it. Beautiful. Well, closing thoughts, gents?
Wow. That time flew by, guys. That was a good
episode.
It's
great episode. When Randy's back, isn't it?
If you get me started on the iPad, we won't stop.
Apple, give me my dream computer. Can we just get a new Apple display that's not the Pro Display XDR? That's all I really want. Like,
I would be
Mac
really
Mini's
excited
great.
For that.
All of the M1 stuff's great, but like, Apple, if there's one product in 2021 that I really want to see, it's just a new Apple display. Because I saw in your video, Drew, the Apple Cinema display, and I'm like, dang, that looks like a nice display.
Right? That looks great.
I wish it wasn't 11 years old.
I know, it's 11 years old, and it still looks better than the iMac Pro, in my opinion.
Exactly.
It looks very futuristic
and
modern.
That looks wonderful.
Yeah. I also would be very interested if they did like a M1X Mac Mini with four Thunderbolt ports.
Yes.
If they did that later in the year, I'd be very tempted to just do that. If it had the same silicon as the iMacs, for cheaper, I'd be like, ooh, maybe that's the
also
more responsible decision.
Please.
And an Apple display. Bloomberg said they are working on one that is not XDR. So
good.
Meaning it's good. So
price per dollar will be good.
Price per dollar will be decent. Sounds good.
If XDR is only doing the high dynamic range, I kind of feel like their next cinema display will be HDR because our phones went that direction. I see that still happening, but maybe it won't be 6, 8K. I'm cool with a 4K, and that's fine.
Can we still put a webcam in it in speakers?
Yes.
Like,
no,
I
like
love that of the old
speakers,
cinema display.
That'd be nice.
Like USB ports, Thunderbolt ports.
For the love of God,
HDMI,
but give it the iPad chaining version of cameras.
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
It's thicker.
Face ID?
Come on.
Face
you
ID?
Can get away
yeah.
with it.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
There's
Do
so
it.
Many problems that an external monitor could potentially fix.
Totally.
Really, if you just stuffed it full of awesome hardware. Like,
put like thumbprint reader at the bottom. You can like totally conveniently touch the... No, that would not be convenient.
That would be dumb, but if you... Like I showed my sister,
like, oh,
I was like...
Oh, yeah, that's stupid. That's fine. That's dumb, but okay. But no, how about...
The cinema monitor, I was like, see, when you plug this in, it gives you an additional 3 USB ports right here. And she was like, 3? Mm-hmm. I've had one for 3 years.
Yeah, to hear that one of them was broken, I'm like, oh...
Ooh.
I was like,
ooh.
I would have replaced it at that point. But she said that was, she was referencing it like a few years ago, the left USB port stopped working. And I was like, you what? But it was mid-2013. So I'd say that's a decent lifespan for a MacBook. If it's ready to be retired after 8 years, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Although she's still using it. It's not gone. So.
Oh, then never mind.
Thank you all for watching.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
See you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.